We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everyone, Dano here, and we got an awesome episode of Dice It Up for You featuring two interviews Ice and I did last week. First, hear from MAAC Preseason Player of the Year, D.D. Davis from Manhattan College, and then we'll kick it over to Shaylee Gonzalez, new transfer guard from BYU who's now at the University of Texas. Hope you enjoy. Finally, we are back. It is Dice It Up. Took a little two-week break. I had a minor injury. I texted you about it, Ice, and I'm on the up and up, though. We are in the thick of it. We're in December. We're recording this episode on December 15th, and a month into the college basketball season, I've been loving every second, and not just from the major schools, but the mid-major schools. We had to show some love. Thank you, Ice, for really pushing to make this happen. Ice, I want you to introduce our guest since you've seen her play up close and personal multiple times now.
Yeah, first, what's up, fam? I missed you. Yes. I mean, we talk all the time. I still missed you. Good to be back. I'm excited about our guest. You talked about, you know, covering mid-majors, but especially schools in New York. Like, I'm from Jersey, and so New York Hoopers are different, but especially when you have all these schools in New York, it's really cool to cover them, and so this year, I've been blessed for the last couple of years, I guess, to cover Manhattan College men's women's basketball. And D.D. Davis is definitely a person that I have connected with so many times. D.D. has awesome personality, brings a really awesome edge on the court as well. She's the MAC pick preseason player of the year. So royalty is with us today. And I'm just so excited to have her here. I feel like I chat with her all the time, but never like really on camera. And so this is kind of cool for us to connect through our podcast. So D.D., thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you both for having me. It's really a pleasure.
I got to say, Dee, one thing I do love about like your game and watching is it gives me confirmation that the mid-range is not dead. Yeah. Like mid-range goddess is in the upper part of Manhattan right now. I can say honestly that mid-range was never part of my style. I loved watching James Harden play in the Rockets, but you're bringing it back, and I love that. What is it about, like, pulling up from, you know, or, I mean, what gives you the confidence to just pull up off one dribble or hit a step back to go right in the mid-range? Because I feel like not many people really utilize that shot anymore.
Yeah, well, for me personally, I have torn both of my ACLs before, and so in the earlier stages of my basketball career, I was like, I'm not going to shoot the ball. I'm not going to shoot threes. I'm not going to shoot mid ranges. I just want to ensure that I can get this ball in the basket. So I was more of a layup, a driver kind of guard, which I would argue that I still am. But I would argue that because my body has really been through the ringer and a lot in terms of, you know, taking contact and injuries and whatnot, I really started to explore the 17-foot, the mid-range game more as my game has progressed in my college years. So it was really more of a caution thing. And then it started to go down and it started to fall. And I sort of said to myself, I'm like, okay, this is working. So I sort of added that to my game. And I obviously love to get to the rim as well. Still obviously embrace contact. My coach says I sometimes look for contact a little too much. But so I would definitely say that it stemmed from me just not wanting to get so deep and not wanting to be among the trees all the time. And so, it really started to work for me. So I just wanted to implement that as something that was automatic in my game, really.
I feel that. I was always afraid of contact, so I can't really relate. Did you have something similar? Like when, you messed up your knee, tore your ACL, did you feel like you had to change like your style and approach to your game?
No, 1000% what Didi said. I think like when I graduated, high school, I was known as a slasher. I could score kind of every which way, but I really was good at like floaters and getting to the rack. And then, at a certain point, you just get tired of getting hit, and you just realize like these hits add up and they also add to injuries, and so became more of a shooter. That was also because I was at Syracuse and we led the country in 3 shot per game. But no, definitely. Like nowadays, I don't even go in for a layup for real. Like it has to be like a transition outlet. Okay, one dribble, nobody's here. Otherwise, like I'm pulling up or it's a pull up 3. Like I'm
not
even
nice. Have been nice.
Yeah, I'm not even messing around in there. Like you're not hitting me because I'm gonna get mad that I got hit. I'm gonna get mad that you hit me when I could have just pulled up and knocked down the jumper and called it a day. Like life can be so easy, and sometimes we decide to make it hard. So no, Didi definitely has mastered the mid-range game as well as transition. Right, I love watching you in transition. I want to talk about more so your team right now. Like you have grown to be a leader on this team. You mentioned the 2 ACLs that you went through, the sticking it out at Manhattan, playing several years, obviously with the COVID years and graduate years, you've got some extra years under your belt. How do you feel like you've grown as a leader for this team? I want to say too, I feel like a lot of the times we look at the best players of teams, or one of the best players of teams as the leader automatically. And sometimes personalities aren't always like a leader personality. Sometimes you are just the best, but you're not necessarily a leader. So where do you feel like you've grown in your last 6 years at Manhattan to be able to get there?
Yeah. So in the last, it's 5 now, this is my 5th year. I would think that I came in with that mentality, like, okay, I know I want to be the best, but I don't really know about the leadership side of it. Somebody can handle that and put in all that dirty work and be the one that people talk to and open up to and be the one that does the extra things before practice and sets things up and does the curfew checks and all the things that people have no idea go into a leadership role for a Division I women's basketball team. But I will say just having teammates who were just natural, wonderful women in Courtney Worley. I mean, I was talking to her last night. I talked to her so much because not only is she a big sister to me, since before I got to the school on my visit, I remember, oh, this girl is a leader. Like, I don't even know. I haven't even seen her play yet, but just on one of my visits, I was just like, she's the one that people are going to when something is wrong and people have something to get off their chest. And she's the one that's communicating with the coaches. And so I agree with you. It definitely doesn't always correlate, best player equals leadership role. But I think that is something that I fortunately grew into because I had so many wonderful leaders around me with the likes of Courtney Worley. And so over the years, I was able to just add certain things that she's left for me, certain advice that she's gave for me, that she's gave to me, which she still does. She's still leading me and we're not even on the same team. That I definitely have grown into a leadership role throughout the years because of those who've come before me.
That's powerful. It's needed. I think, your coach, Coach Heather Voland, does a great job of just recruiting culture. I think a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people want to be about it, but the same people she gets almost every year, like it seems like they fit the role on the team, but they're also their personalities fit and their culture fits. And so that's what you want as someone like a Courtney Worley to leave a program and then leave behind not only her basketball legacy, but a legacy of leadership, right? That you can take on. How are you guys doing this season? Kind of give us an update on just where you guys are at, where you feel like you can grow and get better and maybe some bright spots.
So no matter if we won the last 5 games or we've lost the last 5 games, we're always going to say we need to improve. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality that our coaches have instilled in us from day one. And, we're proud of that. We're very happy to embrace the challenge. I mean, our coaches set the bar for us here from day one, like you're going to meet it or you're not. And if you don't, that's on you. Yeah. So we really have no choice but to meet the expectations that's placed upon us from day one, the expectations that were that was placed upon the seniors before us who have left that legacy. Okay, this is a winning culture. So I'd like to think that we're in a good space. We're obviously continuing to grow and figure each other's games out, because, I mean, our starting lineup right now, you know, I think that Bella, the sophomore guard, she's, I love playing with her. She's phenomenal. But she's someone who didn't necessarily play a ton last year. So it's also, you know, her and I trying to get on the same page, see where she's at. Petra, who's a gazelle, she's phenomenal. And I also love playing with her as well. But she also had Courtney to help her out in a lot of ways. So it's like, you know, when you take out certain pieces and now there are underclassmen who really have to step up and show what they're about. I think Ann Bear, a freshman guard from Pennsylvania, she is as quick as, I think she's faster than me, I would say. Yes. If you ask me, she's phenomenal for us. She's coming in. She's doing the right things. She's making the right plays. And then our upperclassmen, Emily LaPointe, she's been solid. Like, if there's one word that I use to describe Emily, it will be solid. And she has been solid. She's that our tough, gritty person. You know, she goes to battle for us every single day. So I'd like to think that it really comes down to us all putting our pieces together. You know, like, we know, okay, I can do this, Bella can do this, Patrick can bring this to the table, but it's not going to work if it's just me doing this, this person doing this, that person doing that. It's about leaning on each other, relying on each other. So I would say we're in a pretty good space right now. We're obviously still figuring a lot out, but it is conference play. And I would say that we are much better now than we were, say, four or five months ago.
Speaking of the conference, how do you feel as far as, like, is it wide open this year, or is there expectations on, is there a target on someone's back? I know, you know, was it Mount St. Mary's that won it last year?
Mount St. Mary's was actually in a different conference. They're new.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Come on, Dano.
Play them next. So I'll be able to answer you about more questions on them after we play them this Saturday. But I would like to think that this league is very competitive. You know, people are picked wherever they're picked, and that's fine. That's cute. I was picked preseason player of the year, as I just mentioned. That's fine. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what you do when the lights are on. You know, statistics and accolades before the season are great, but I think it comes down to who gets what after it's all said and done. So I'd like to think that Quinnipiac obviously has a championship pedigree. They're always great. They're fun to play against. I'd like to think that people think the same about us. Fairfield obviously won it last year, but I'd like to think that their team is pretty good this year as well. And then I would say besides that, maybe it's a toss-up. I really don't know. But besides that, it's a really, really phenomenal conference to play in, because every guard is quick. You know, everybody can shoot. Everybody can do this. Every big can rebound the ball well. But what team is going to be the difference maker? You know, what team is going to take their program to the next level? And so it's really exciting to see.
Nice. I'm excited for you. You talk about, you know, being picked preseason player of the year. What was your reaction when that happened? And, you know, we've talked about it personally, but just your mindset about it moving forward, right? Because someone could think that it's a lot of expectations, or if a lot of pressure, or it's no pressure. Like, you've already been acknowledged, right? Whatever happens now happens. But yeah, how have you kind of internalized that and led that through, I guess, you know, your season and then now in conference play, where, you know, everyone is 100% aware of who you are and what you do?
I'm going to be completely transparent and say that it's tough. It is tough when you look at it one way, because it's like, okay, I know who I am. I know who people see me as. You know, it was a really phenomenal accolade. It's awesome. And I think that it acknowledges how hard that I worked for these last couple of years. But at the same time, you're going to get everyone's best effort. Yeah. So when we see teams doing things like boxing ones, I'm getting face guarded or, you know, getting doubled, Coach V just says to take it as a sign of respect. So I you know, I have that in the back of my head often, but it definitely can be frustrating when you feel like you're not playing up to the standard, because it's like, hey, you guys, everyone sort of thought I was this kind of person, but I'm not playing up to that standard. So that can be frustrating. But at the end of the day, I'm just excited to be playing basketball. I know you can relate to this. I mean, there was a time where I couldn't play basketball for a year, you know, twice. So I'm really just excited to be out there. I get to play the game of basketball, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so humbled to be doing that. And I think that throughout my injuries, I've been able to adapt the mindset, whereas I probably wouldn't have been as grateful. I'd probably be like, okay, I have practice, or we got a game next week. Like, I'm like, okay, I got practice today. I'm excited. I'm excited to be in the weight room. I'm excited to do, you know, the little things that go into preparing for a practice. So it's really been a humbling experience. And while I am really, really grateful and appreciative, I was picked as what I was picked. It doesn't change much for me. I just want to win. And so whatever that means on any given night, I just want to win.
That's a dope mentality. I probably never had that. And I probably wasn't on the scouting report of every team for multiple reasons. Just he throws backdoor passes and shoots, but good Lord. Yeah, I can't imagine dealing with that every night. I'm one of those people who kind of definitely gets mad when something gets annoying, like just someone playing hard at pickup. I can't imagine dealing with a box and one all game. Good Lord. So who's Manhattan's rival? Do you all have one?
I would say in conference, it would definitely be Quinnipiac. I think that we've had that rivalry going and brewing, and it really, I would say, popped off last year because it was like, okay, we've got to beat this team. With all due respect to their coach, again, they have a championship pedigree, they have a winning culture, and that's always awesome, and they're always top of the league. So you want to play with and have rivalries versus teams who are obviously great in their own regard, but we just want to beat them every time,
I feel that.
We just don't like the Bobcats. And I'm sure the same can be said for us if you had asked one of their players.
That's a game I got to get out to then.
Yep.
1,000%. Okay. When I played at Siena, I was the same way. I was so anti-Quinnipiac. I don't know why. Yep. It's just like something about them is like, yeah, no, like,
it's the water over there.
My favorite win of the season was against them on their
twice. Listen, we played them. We lost the first game. We played them again, second time around. We beat them at home.
Yeah.
And then we played them for a third time. Yeah. Playoffs. We beat them. So it was just like, and, but obviously, we didn't get picked to play, postseason and afterward, and they did, and we thought that we got robbed or there was an opportunity there that was missing, so that hurts a little bit more. So when we play them, people are always like, okay, these are the people that we've got to beat them. So and that's fun. I think that they're all phenomenal girls. I think that their entire program from top to bottom, they're strong, resilient women, and I love to play against people like that.
Yeah, like you said, it's a respect factor, right? Like, you wouldn't get up and get excited to play against people you don't respect. You're like, all right, it's another day. Like, let me come out here, play 20 minutes, and then,
exactly,
let everything go. But yeah, it's a respect factor. I love it. I actually call their game this weekend versus Iona.
How'd they do?
I will call their game this weekend. Yeah, so I'm excited to see the Mac. I'm excited to see Iona as well. And obviously, I cover you guys all the time. So, yeah. And then St. Mary's is in it. So I'm excited about it. Yeah, it should be good.
It's always hard to be on these podcasts when I have people like Ice and our guest who are so humble and speak so eloquently and have such a great outlook. I feel like I got to be more optimistic and positive now. So thank you for making my Thursday so much better. Dee Dee, when did you cut the hair?
I would say I cut my hair, maybe I was like 16 or so. So I'm 22 now. So it was quite some time ago. I'd say like 16 years old. I'm a basketball player. This is too much. I'm like in huddles, like, oh my gosh. So it's so much more freeing. And like my teammates will have a game, and obviously you have to be in the gym, a couple hours before, and people are getting ready. Let me tell you, some of my teammates, they're flat ironing their hair for like 3 hours, then it's a lot. So I kind of get to roll out of bed, and I'm just like, oh, I don't have to do that. So I'm like, oh, I'm very, very lucky. But yeah, it's definitely more freeing, and I just feel like I'm on cloud nine.
What a Hooper mentality. See, I always thought, like, because after I met Ice, I would go watch some of her old games, and there's a difference between when she wears a headband and when she doesn't. It's just a different mentality. Like, killer mentality comes out when the headband comes on.
Oh my god, I love when you say that, because it's probably true. But I was one of those players, like, when I have braids, so it's always easy, right? Like, it's gonna go up in a ponytail, it takes 10 seconds. But I was always one of those players where it's like, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. And so, yeah. And so, like, I didn't need to look good to the point where I was putting on, like, makeup. You know what I'm saying? Taking hours. But, like, I'd quickly do my little eyebrows. I'd throw on some mascara, my favorite lip gloss, and be like, bro, headband, let's get it. Let's like, I feel good. I look good. So, Yeah, I always thought that process was funny. Like, I had a teammate who wore a full face of makeup too. And every time she'd start the game, first media timeout, bro, come out, towel full of her face.
Like, you know, that's insane. That's fine. As long as it doesn't get on me, you know. And back to the Quinnipiac, you know, sometimes you play them and it's like I'm looking at my jersey. I've got orange stain. I've got stains. And so that's for another day. But we got to be careful with the makeup. We really do. It's got to be careful.
Yeah, it's almost a deterrent, like sweat. Like, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? Like, get your face off my shoulder. Yeah.
I will say, like, I used to do nothing with my hair when I played. I played D3, so it wasn't a big deal anyways. But, like, for the, you know.
Timeout. That is a big deal. The percentage of people who
play
college basketball,
of course. D1,
2, 3, or NAIA is a big deal. Continue.
Appreciate it. But I would do nothing with my hair, but then, like, watching like JJ Redick and like the glow up of Gordon Hayward's hair from college to NBA, I was like, all right, there are some people who I might be interested in the stands. My wife ended up being one of them. I'm like, let me put some product in my hair. But I was always like, let me go to the very end of the locker room. I don't want anyone to see this. Insecurity at its finest.
I think Ashley, your wife, appreciated that, though. It's always great when you're watching somebody play and their game is good, and they also look good. Absolutely. Like, it's like, no, this, the, you know, we're halfway there right now. Like, you might be all right. As long as you're not a serial killer and you're somewhat decent, like, we might be all right. It might work out.
Dee, what are you majoring in?
Right. I was going to say, let's not talk about
basketball. No, stop. Blast. For undergrad, my major was sociology with a concentration in law. I've always wanted to be a police officer growing up. I come from a long line of law enforcers and you know, people within the NYPD. So that's very near and dear to my heart. And so in my grad program, I'm now focusing on a master of art in organizational leadership. And so I would say it's definitely a managerial degree. It's more like a business degree, I would say, talking to a lot of my friends who went that route. And it's back to the leadership point. You know, you think that this degree or taking courses about leadership, it's like, okay, how do you be a leader? What goes into that? And while we do cover aspects, you know, such as that, but it really goes into what a leader is not. How do you not present yourself? You know, and so it's really been an amazing experience. I joke to my coaches, to my academic coaches especially, about how I was really insecure when I first got into the program because I am one of the youngest people there, you know. So it's a lot of older people within my class. But the thing that I got to learn and take in was I'm just around people who have different perspectives than me. And so that's been really awesome to see. I mean, one of my partners on my final project that was just due yesterday, he has two kids my age. And so he's like, well, how do you work this on the iPhone? And so we're talking and we're, you know, different dialogues. And it's like, wow, I'm like talking to somebody my dad's age who's my partner. So this degree has been very eye-opening. It's been awesome. So,
okay. So
I love that.
So
I feel like that's going to be a reflection though of you as a police officer, right? That one day you run into someone who, you know, domestic violence issue, people that are maybe are older. And then the next day it's a kid on the street that, you know, is in a little bit of trouble and needs help. I'm going to ask you this, and I guess it's a deep question to me, but what would you like to change? Like, I think being a police officer, I feel like it's all about change, right? It's all about how you can affect the world and affect society because they are a big part of society. And so if you go into that after basketball and start your career, what's something you'd like to change?
I think first and foremost, abuse of power has obviously been on full display. Within the last recent years, it's just become more prevalent to mainstream society and mainstream media. But I think that controlling power is very, very important. I think that to walk around with a weapon, to walk around knowing you have some kind of authority over, you know, just your everyday regular civilian is very important. I think that people can get a little too happy with that amount of power and with that amount of authority. So I definitely would love to see more of a change in the dynamic of, okay, well, I have maybe a little bit more power than you, but at the end of the day, we're still human beings. So I think that that's something that I would definitely emphasize once I get out into that field. And, you know, as of going back to your leadership point, when I love this topic of leadership. I really do because it's what I'm studying. I'm actually interning for this real estate investment firm in the city. And it's like being a cop, you know, one trajectory that I can see my life going, leadership is so important. But as I interned for this real estate investment firm in the city, I go there and I was just there last night and I'm like, leadership is so important here too. And I was with the legal team yesterday and it's like they emphasize the same things that my program emphasized. So it's just really just nice to see what my degree being useful.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, don't have that experience, fortunately, but it's been an amazing experience, not only studying and taking classes and getting insight within the NYPD field, but within this real estate investment field. It's so cool to see how they correlate and how, you know, I can definitely bring over even leadership skills from basketball into those two different worlds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it.
I read a book.
You read a book?
You read a book?
I've read a lot of books. I'm a big reader.
Good for you.
A lot of mostly around basketball, but there are certain things that I do love about you know, stories in history, or I wouldn't say self-help books, but I did read about like having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I try to do all the time, but I'm obviously not very good at it. But like just hearing you talk, it's like some of the empathy you show, always looking optimistically, it's like very evident there. So I'll buy all the stock in D.D. Davis available.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I just want to say, knowing you, but also knowing what you want to do, I think that you're on the greatest path to do it. You know, I think just being a hooper, being a Black female, young Black female in this world, understanding what you possibly could do in the future, and how your experiences now can shape how you lead in the future. And so I just think that's super important. Kudos to you for knowing that. I tell everyone, like, when I was in college, I didn't know I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. I didn't find it out till like my senior year, and it took me some time. But I love to see when people kind of have an idea early while they're in school of what they want to do after school. And even if it changes, it just allows you to prepare yourself much better than you would if you kind of figured it out late. So I'm glad that you're understanding that you being a leader and communicating well in huddles to your team is also going to help you communicate and hopefully save somebody's life as a police officer. So that's dope if you go into that. And I'm happy for you, man. You already know I'm a fan, but I'm happy for you.
I'm a fan of yours. I am a big ISIS Young fan. So I'm very glad that you're cool.
Thank you. Oh, this has been awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Okay, last thing I have for you. Manhattan Women's Basketball. If you've never seen it, what are you going to see and what are you going to love about it? Tell our audience.
I would say if you look at Manhattan Women's Basketball, you're going to see a bunch of people who wear their hearts and wear their emotions on a sleeve. And that looks different from every single person on our roster, including coaches. So what I mean by that is you'll see Coach V, you know, communicating. She has this angry face that we joke about. And when she's yelling at us, that's obviously a terrible feeling. Nobody wants to be yelled at. But with me in particular, if I'm doing something wrong, it gives me like this glare. And so if you're watching that from TV, you probably won't notice it, but this is the tell. When she stops yelling and she gets a little red and she like gives you the glare, that's the worst it can be. So that's you know, you're going to see that, and it's wonderful to see how her communication skills are kind of different. I have other coaches who they're losing their voice, throwing boards, yelling, because they coach us. You know, they're very passionate. We're very, very glad for that. Myself, I'm sort of an energy, fired up kid. I'm happy. I'm bouncing around. You know, I'm very emotional. Bella, the most nonchalant person you'll ever meet, she can just score 10 in a row, and her face is just like, you know, I love it. You know, it's just expresses herself. And I can go on and on. But if you watched Manhattan Women's Basketball, you would just see a sisterhood, really, who loves to play each other. And that will be on full display. We are all so bought in to what the coaches have been building here, not only with us, with the group 5 years ago who started this. Just continuously pass down and recycle the tradition. So. You'll see a lot of characters.
Love it.
I do too. That's so cool. Well, I mean, I think I might be able to come to the game next Thursday. Next Thursday, they play Long Island at home at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's on ESPN Plus as well. I'm going to have to move some flights around. But you know what? I got to get inspired. I'm hitting that wall. It's December. I need some Manhattan basketball to pick me up.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
We'll be there. Oh,
and Didi, when you finish playing, permanent spot available to you on our rec league team at Chelsea Piers on Wednesday nights. We really need a point guard. We got Asia McRae from Sacred Heart filling in sometimes, but we need a true point guard real bad.
What? My fiance actually, I think she does gymnastics down there. So while she's doing that, why not? Why not?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you don't even have to pay. We'll take care of it. We need a ringer.
Okay.
Dano has been recruiting this for this team since I've met him like months ago. And he's trying to get me to go. And I'm like, Dano, I can't, you know, I just tough to go. But I'm glad he's still at it. He seriously cares about winning this league. And I support it.
And also I need I hate being guarded by like the best players. Cause like I said, I don't like challenges. why is this person all over me? But I offer to pay for Ice's like Ubers. I'll get her a hotel. She can stay in my guest room if it's not ready.
I would offer the same price.
Whatever. That's what I'm talking about.
You need a point guard. I'm more of a shooting guard these days.
Yeah, but in rec league you literally can play all five. You know what I mean?
That's true.
This is true.
They can't touch you.
This is true. Can't touch you either, Dano.
Well, thank you so much, Didi. I'm definitely gonna do whatever I can to make it Thursday, and I obviously will be talking to you, Ice. And hopefully, Ice, are you calling any more Manhattan games in the near future?
1,000%. I'm all over the schedule, so she will see me soon. I'm excited about it. Again, it's one of my favorite schools to go to and broadcast at. The crew is great. Both teams, men and women's, are great, and the coaches are great. And obviously, the players are second to none. So, Didi, thanks so much for joining us, fam. It's so good to see you and talk to you on here. Everyone, if you don't know where to follow Didi and support her, she will give you her social info and then catch up with her in the season.
Absolutely. My Instagram is DidiDavis_1. So I don't really have Twitter. Follow Manhattan Women's Basketball for that, and you'll see me pop up here and there. But thank you both so much for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
God bless. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're here with another interview on Dice It Up. We're thrilled to welcome on Shaylee Gonzalez, University of Texas guard, former West Coast Conference 2-time player of the year, been a finalist for our very own Her Hoop Stats Becky Hammond mid-major player of the year. And I had to throw out a specific stat from our guy Calvin Wetzel. I love how he digs her stats, but Shaylee, the only player in the country last season to shoot at least 80% at the rim on 3 attempts per game. As a guard, that's kind of nuts. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm obviously a Texas fan. For people who follow us, follow Spread the Floor, hyped about the volleyball team winning last night. We're recording this on Friday, December 16th. Texas coming off a win at Jackson State, and Shaylee played 40 minutes dealing with the Texas heat. Even though it's December, we're still not in the mid 40s yet. We're still in the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. How is Austin treating you so far?
I mean, awesome. I got here in August, jumped right into the program, had to learn the system, you know, get used to playing with these girls and knowing what Schaefer wanted from me, it was a big, different experience I've never experienced before, you know, just moving to a new city and experiencing that. But I mean, it's been so fun being with this team. I've been able to grow a lot in all different aspects and learn different things from the game.
That's awesome. Where do you feel like you've grown the most so far?
Probably, I feel like mental toughness is a big one. Mm-hmm. Also just being able to, play for that long. I mean, outside of games, you know, in practices, being pushed that hard physically, I feel like I've grown in those certain areas.
I mean, you had like incredible success at BYU, mm-hmm. played for a Hall of Fame coach, all conference accolades, made the tournament multiple times. And I know just from like some of the graphic content I've put out on Twitter, how intense and passionate BYU fans are. I think the mental toughness of transferring as a player in your position, who, you know, basically had the keys to the program and had so much success, because we see so many players transfer when like a situation isn't right. Understand there's a coaching change, but can you talk about that process and how difficult it was to really make that jump and go to a program like Texas?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision. I sat down with my family and we talked a lot about it. And then once there was a coaching change, that pushed it a little bit even further. But I knew that, you know, I did love my time there and my team there. I just wanted to be, you know, on a better team that was able to go farther in the tournament, experience those different things. I wanted to be able to, you know, be highly ranked and go further in the NCAA tournament and, you know, play in a bigger conference, to be pushed in all different areas. So that's why I decided to move on.
Yeah. And then like first 2 weeks of the season, you're playing at UConn. It's
yeah.
Throwing it to the fire.
Yeah.
What about the vision for the team? You know, I covered you guys. I called your games in the Bahamas. We talked about the amount of transfers that you guys had, the instant credibility that comes with them. What was that process like, knowing that, you know, Coach Schaefer was going in the transfer portal really deep, getting some really good players, and you were kind of going to have to gel with players that, you know, maybe you've only ever played against that haven't even played for him yet?
Yeah. I mean, I knew going into transfer portal that it was going to be hard. It was going to be different. I was going to be able to, you know, play with different players, faster, stronger, taller athletes. And I knew what I was getting myself into. And, you know, it's been a great blessing in my life. And I've learned a lot. And there goes the AirPod. But yeah, and I had a lot of looks, and I narrowed it down to three and then went on those three visits. And then I was just looking for a school, like I said, again, that, you know, was going to push me, and we were going to go far in the tournament and try and win a Final Four and national championship.
I dig that. The season obviously is started with some ups and downs. I mean, you've been asked to play kind of like a variety of roles, with Rory being out to start the season. And now, sadly Aaliyah goes down. Can you just talk about like the variability and the adaptability that you have to play with, for Coach Vic Schaefer?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, we've had a few injuries that have been, that have hurt the team. And, you know, that's when people have to step up. That's when, you know, different players, we have, I think, like 6 or 7 new players on this team this season. So, you know, being able to gel together that quick, and people being able to step up in certain roles, you can't just know the two guard, you got to know the 1, 2, and 3, you know, because you never know when your name's going to be called. And so I think that's super important, being just prepared for that. And injuries, you know, they suck, they happen, but you just got to move on from them. So,
yeah, we've had a number of players on the podcast that have torn ACLs, because it seems like just everywhere you go, you're going to find several players who have. I've torn mine twice. Mm-hmm. We just mentioned Aaliyah Moore and finding out about hers, and I know you went through that process as well. You know, have you given her any, you know, words of encouragement, or just has she kind of felt the need to lean on anyone else who, you know, has gone through that process and has overcome it and is, like, you know, playing and recovered now?
Yeah. So I was actually right in that corner. I saw the whole thing, her drive and her hit, and when she fell down, like, I knew what it was. And yeah, I have given her a few, you know, tips here and there, and like my process, and, you know, with the crutches and surgery and things like that. But, you know, we're all, you know, gonna be in there helping her and supporting her through this whole season. So
yeah, I love the family vibe that y'all have already built in such a short time with, you know, so many new players. That's speaks to the culture that Vic's built. Also, just being at Texas, getting to meet some incredible people. I don't know if you've met Matthew McConaughey yet. I feel like every athlete meets him at some point, but you got to meet KD. What was that like?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. We were actually in the bleachers, and we saw him from we saw him on the field, and we're like, we need to go see him. So at halftime, we went down and were able to go take some pictures with him, which was pretty awesome.
such a vibe. He's, I mean, he's pretty tall. Yeah. Pretty important human being in the basketball realm.
He's all right. No kidding. I want to kind of ask you about your, you know, Instagram following, social media following, but also more so like NIL stuff. I know that at least I graduated a few years ago, and so that did not exist. But there are players like you have taken advantage of brand sponsorships and partnerships and different things like that. Does it sometimes feel like a second job, you know, where you have to think about like, okay, I've got to make a social media post about this. I've got to make sure that I tag somebody in this. Because it's all about your brand, you know, and you do a very good job of, you know, being your brand. But it also seems like it can sometimes come across like it's a second job that you have to do on top of being an athlete, on top of being, you know, a student as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. Once that NIL hit, I was super excited, you know, the passing of the rule. And, you know, being able to make money off of your name, image, and likeness is something so awesome. I feel like all athletes should be able to do it. And, it is kind of like a second job, you know, planning when you're going to, you know, film things, post things, the captions, the editing, all of that. But it's just really nice to make some money off of the side.
Yeah. What's the most fun part for you about kind of the NIL stuff and the different posts? Is it like interacting with different brands or just kind of when people try a brand that maybe you suggest? Like, what's the most fun part to you?
Probably just like being able to get those emails from like those certain companies that I never thought I'd be able to work with.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also like a sign of like how hard I've worked being able to get up to that position, to be able to like to realize like, wow, that company actually wants to work with me.
Yeah.
Is really fun. And I also love like clothes and like photos and taking photos like that. So that's really fun.
Yeah. Love it.
It's always so funny. Like having to download the BYU TV app and then seeing the same, I forget like which credit union or whatever it was. And then you and Alex Barcelo just in the commercial. I mean, you know, the app was something that I download like once every basketball season, but
yeah.
So there's Shaylee advertising on a credit card. Proud of her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember making that commercial. It took a while.
All right. Shaylee, you're in Austin. Austin's known for the breakfast tacos. Do you have a favorite spot yet? Do you eat? I don't know your dietary restrictions. My wife's a pescatarian, for example. But if you do eat breakfast tacos, do you have a favorite spot yet?
For breakfast tacos, I don't have a favorite spot, but I do have, oh my gosh, a favorite spot for just like tacos in general. Cabo Bob's, it's like 5-minute drive. Love their tacos and also their chips and queso. So good.
One of my best friends is like, goes to Cabo Bob's every Thursday. I'm going to send him this clip. Shout out Manny Hernandez. But anyways, all right. I just got to recommend Taco Deli. There's a bunch of them, but it's so fresh. They have breakfast and lunch. We need to tag Taco Deli, sponsor Shaylee. Sponsor the team. Get tacos everywhere.
Yes.
Torchy's is solid, but to me, it's a little overrated at this point. So many franchises, but nothing against them. They're great. But Taco Deli, highly recommend it. Have you been to Barton Springs?
I have not.
We still need to get Shaylee the authentic Austin experience.
I know. I need the
I feel like
list of what list I need to do. Now.
Yeah, I feel like you need a list, a little bucket list that Dano can give
yeah.
you. Okay, for the rest of the season, these are the places you need to stop at.
I mean, as long as you get some Tex-Mex, like D.D. Richards talked about, I mean, you know, it's a staple of Texas, but Austin has some great spots. As far as the city does go, has there been anything that surprised you about it? Obviously, I don't know the size of BYU's campus, but Texas is literally, you know, they call it the 40 acres. What has surprised you most about the city of Austin?
Honestly, I was super surprised about the Moody Center and how nice it was and how many concerts they have here in Austin. I never lived in the city before, but I feel like there's also a lot of things to do here. I just didn't realize, you know, being thrown into the city, didn't realize how many things there were to do here. So
yeah. I guess y'all probably would have been practicing during like ACL maybe. The music festival. Yes. But, and then South By might be during March and hopefully the Longhorns are making a run. So, might miss out on that too. But yeah, the concert scene, insane. I'd say it's somewhat easy to get around if you're like downtown already, but like getting north is crazy. I mean, now they have a professional soccer team that they didn't have when I used to live there. I still haven't been in the Moody Center. But so when I get, it was still being built when you took your visit then.
The Moody Center was built. The BBR, like the practice facility, wasn't. It was like under construction. So we like went through in like helmets and construction gear. But
I mean, was there anything that Vic Schaefer did that, you know, sealed the deal? I mean, I'm sure there were some people during your transfer process that you were like, all right, this is it. This is why I chose, I could say four different schools for ICE. Three, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like Texas kind of blew all the other schools out the water in all different aspects. And I felt like this is where I was going to be pushed more. To be a better player and for the team to be the best it could be. So
I want to talk about the team and just, you know, this season. You guys have been faced with some adversity early. Like I said, I was there for your games in the Bahamas where Rory wasn't playing. Then she comes back, you guys are getting into a stride. You're getting into a stride, like averaging 15 points over the last four games. And then Aaliyah goes down. And now you've kind of got to rework, you know, the roster, rework different positions and things like that. I know Coach Schaefer has told me, like, we've had different people in different positions and everyone's growing. And so it just seems like everyone's growing. And you guys have also played an extremely tough schedule already. What are your overall thoughts on the season right now and just where you guys are at?
Yeah. I mean, the first few games in, like, Bahamas, when we went there, that was when Rory was out. And that was when he threw me into being the point guard, kind of running the team. I didn't expect that right away. I didn't expect to, you know, be thrown into that position. Because that's not an easy position. I was going to do whatever I could for the team, so I stepped in and did it. But, yeah, I feel like me being able to step up in that position, I grew. I learned a lot. And, you know, like I said, with all these injuries out, we have other people that are able to step in, step up. And in practice, it's going to be a little bit hard because we don't have as many bodies.
Yeah.
But that's just extra work for us to do. So.
Yeah. What about the backcourt? I mean, now that you guys have, you know, Rory back, and I know you were playing with her in practice, and then as soon as the game started, it seemed like she just wasn't able to get on the court right away. But also Sonya Morris coming in from DePaul. I played against her a couple times in my career. Like, what do you think the potential is for, you know, you guys as a trio going up against some of the best guards in the country?
I mean, us three guards, I feel like we're very versatile where we can do a lot. You know, if I could run up the point guard, you know, I can get the ball, push the ball up. I love running the court. So we've done that a few times with Rory and I switching off on that position. But Sonya, you know, her scoring, her leadership in that way, is super important for us, and we need her to score the ball. You know, when she has an off day, someone else can step up. I could step up, Rory can step up. So I feel like, we can all work together in that, area.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the game and you need a bucket, you have like three legit options that most teams really only have one or two. Like, just if you need an ISO, you got Shaylee, Rory, or Sonya. And that's a blessing to have. And we hope for continued health for you three and the rest of the Texas Longhorns for sure. I do want to end this show with something that we haven't done before. But we do have a shout out from a fan. So we're going to play that for you. You should know them. Let's see here.
I love that.
You're like a family member or something?
I mean, in a sense, right?
It's family. Yeah.
Yeah. It's someone that it was the first person I interviewed ever. And she's great. And we'll get it going.
Hey, Shaylee. I hope everything's going great. You're killing it. I am so proud of you. I just remember back your freshman year, and you helped us win the WCC conference tournament, and that was such a fun time. And ever since then, that whole year and ever since then, I've just loved being your teammate. You are such a great teammate. You're such a great leader, and you're killing it at Texas right now. I watch every game. and I hope you're having fun. Love and miss you. Bye. Aww.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out Paisley Harding. Oh. Sorry, I had something playing on the background. Anyways, Shaylee, wow. Incredible time talking to you. Mm-hmm. I'm actually blessed enough to be going to the game this Sunday against USC. So we'll probably, I think, run this on Monday. What can we expect from a showdown with did you ever play USC at BYU?
I have not played them.
Okay. Well, you're going back to Dallas, which you're familiar with, obviously. Yeah. So, what can we expect from the Songhorn team? Can we get a prediction?
Obviously, a win. That is the end goal. Very competitive, aggressive game. We're, after that last game, I feel like we're ready to play hopefully a little bit better team, a little bit more competition. So yeah, just to win. That's the end goal.
Watching their game last night, just a defensive struggle. I've never seen so many missed shots in my life. This is somebody who was actually wagering on the over in that game, but some people miss shots, but God, they do play physical. And they do, it seems like there were so many fouls as well. So I'm excited. It should be a great matchup. I think you or Rory guarding Destiny Littleton will be great too. I'm so excited. But Shaylee, thank you for coming on. And everyone, hopefully you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Good luck this season. Stay healthy. And we are rooting for you guys. We actually really like your team and not just saying that because you're
awesome. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Of course.